Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for Good Shepherd Baptist Church. Thank you for the men and women who come here and serve and participate to give and to pray and to just continue pressing forward, dear Heavenly Father, while you do what you do with this congregation. Lord, we're so thankful. We're so thankful for the opportunities that you give us, Lord. And today, as we come to speak this word, dear Heavenly Father, we just pray that everybody here today, in the sound of my voice, that everybody will be edified, dear Heavenly Father, that they'll hear this word. They'll know that this is a word from God. Let them hear a word from heaven, dear Heavenly Father, that we'll be edified, but that you'll be glorified with all that we say and all that we do. In Jesus' name we pray and ask it all. Amen. Turn your Bibles to the Gospel of John. Turn your Bibles to the Gospel of John. Amen, amen. The Gospel of John. Today we're going to, we have 21 verses. We're going to be in the Gospel of John, chapter 10, verses 1 through 21. The Gospel of John, chapter 10, verses 1 through 21. And I'm going to read verses 1 through 6, and then I'm going to read the key verse, and we will proceed from there. This starts off, just a little bit of introduction. Well, let me read these scriptures for you. Let me read these scriptures. Chapter 10, verses 1 through 6. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. And it says, verse 6, this parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Key verse, chapter 10, verse 11, key verse. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. May the Lord add a blessing to the readers, doers, and hearers of his word. Amen. Today we're going to talk about Jesus. J-E-S-U-S. Jesus is the good shepherd. He starts, and it's going to go from chapter 10, verses 1 through 21. So keep your Bibles open, please, and stay with me. We're in King James Bible, and that's what I'll be reading from. Chapter 10, verses 1 through 21. Key verse, chapter 10, verse 11. He starts off verses 1 through 6 with a parable. Okay, a parable is a narrative that you use to explain something to someone about something that they don't understand using something that they should be familiar with. Jesus uses the parable of a shepherd. In thinking about this particular text, I was thinking, what would be a modern-day parable? A modern-day parable for someone like myself who is computer challenged. Okay, when they first started trying to make me use them and everything, I'm like, oh, this is just too difficult. It's just too difficult. But then a parable would be where somebody would say something, well, haven't you ever worked in an office with a file cabinet? And the answer is, of course, I've worked in office. I was in the mailroom, so we have file cabinets everywhere. Well, a computer is nothing but a file cabinet, just all stuck together. It's a file cabinet. And instead of you having to personally go over there and retrieve, they would come down to the mailroom, and they say, well, can you get this account for me? And I'd get it from my desk, And I'd go over and I'd get the file out of the desk and I'd bring it over and I'd hand it to people. Well, that's, when I was working in the mailroom, we had a computer room that took up the whole fifth floor in downtown Akron of Ohio Edison. Took up the whole fifth floor. And the more they got, the more they reduced my load of having to pick up things. And a computer, now I know, a computer is just a giant file cabinet. And instead of people running to go get the file, you send an electronic signal to go get the file. So now when you start explaining things to people about a computer, simplify it to the point to where find something that they understand, and then you expound on it. How many here, without giving away your age, how many here was your first telephone 2 tin cans? Amen. Raise your hand. Raise your hand. Amen. My first personal telephone. Now, my mama had a telephone, but my first telephone, well, there you go. There you go. There you go. Were 2 tin cans, and I had one, and my brother had the other one, and he had a string. And you'd always say, pull the string tighter, pull the string tighter. And then you stand, hey, can you hear me? And you put, y'all. Now, unlike mama's telephone, which had to stay in the living room, that was my mobile phone. Amen. So now when you talk about mobile phones, you go from 2 tin cans, you go to having a you go to whoever thought of putting a little house on the side of the road with a phone in it and have these poles and these wires connecting everything, that was an upgrade from the 10 cans. And now that little thing you keep in your pocket is an upgrade for, you can't hardly find a phone booth. Well, you can't hardly find a phone booth. In fact, the neighborhoods where you can, you don't stop. Amen. That's okay. But Jesus was, he just had this wonderful knack of finding things to talk to people, to bring out biblical points, spiritual things that they weren't able to quite grasp, and using everyday things that they were usually familiar with. So here in this scripture, where we're talking about Jesus is the good shepherd, by the time we finish through verse 21, you're going to understand that not only is Jesus, he refers to himself as the door, because he gives you this parable. He refers to himself as the door. He refers to himself as the good shepherd. And he refers to himself as the sacrifice. Whoa. Jesus is going to let them know, because this is spiritual stuff. How do you fathom? I was talking to a brother who is pretty well learned, and as far as biblical things are understood. And I was talking to him. I said, Jesus is the high. I said, not only is he the Lamb of God, but he's the high priest. And he's the one who accepts the sacrifice. Riddle me that, Batman. And this brother, who's very biblically knowledgeable, he goes, no, Jesus is the Lamb of God. Correct. All these things are true without contradiction. He is the Lamb of God. He is our high priest. What's the job of the high priest? To slay the lamb. How you work that out? I don't know. And he says, I and my Father are one. Now, that's going to mess with you for a little bit. That's why we tell folks it's the Trinity. It's the teaching of the Trinity. And everybody's got these theories of how to explain it. I don't really spend a whole lot of time explaining it, because if I could explain it thoroughly, I'd be God. Evidently, what's going on here doesn't explain it to you good enough. So I just say, I simply put it this way. The Bible says he and his Father are one. The Bible says he is our high priest. And the Bible says he is the Lamb of God. Now, you give me a terminology that you like, and I'll work with that. But all three of those things are true without contradiction. Without contradiction. So you're going to see that in between chapter 10, verses 1 through 21. you're going to see all that brought together, and you're not going to hear Paul talking about it. You're not going to hear Peter talking about it. You're not going to hear James or John talking about it. You're going to see Jesus himself making these statements. Because people like to say, well, you know, Peter was kind of, he was impetuous and he was impulsive and he didn't get everything right all the time. Okay. And they said, Paul, he was a hard case. You know, he started off persecuting. Well, okay. But this is Jesus speaking to you. This is the Lamb of God explaining to his people, to his disciples, the things that we need to know as saints of God. These are, because if we don't know these truths, we just can't stand, y'all. And some of these things that Jesus is saying, the Bible says Paul spoke some hard sayings. Some of these things that Jesus is saying really fly in the face of a lot of what the church believes today. And I just want you to know that phrase, when it comes down to the Bible, that phrase that we like to banty about, well, let's just agree to disagree. That's nonsense. When it comes to the Word of God, that's patently, I think even in the Greek it says nonsense. See, because Jesus says, I am what? I am the way. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. The truth. Yeah. Well, let's agree to disagree. Whoa, does that change anything? No. So when you're talking this word of God, people are either dead or they're alive. That's why the Bible is so important to know the truth. Either you're dead, you're not sort of kind of dead. You're either dead or you're alive. Even somebody who's been comatose for who knows how long, they're alive. They're alive. So let's go here and let's see what Jesus is talking about as he proceeds to explain to everybody, I am the door, I am the good shepherd, and I am the sacrifice. First, he gives them that parable. Verses 1 through 6. And in the parable, let's see what Jesus says. Jesus says, he says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. What they had, and they still have it today, y'all, this has not changed. There's shepherds in Israel today. There's shepherds all over the world. But the way that the Bedouins do it, even today, is they'll have, when they come in for the night, when everybody brings, you might have four or five shepherds. And each shepherd, they come to this one safe area. And so each shepherd puts his sheep into what they call the sheepfold. And the sheepfold is a safe place for everybody's sheep. And there's a guy who, there's a 24/7 guard over the sheepfold. And so Jesus says, right here, he goes, I am the door. Every sheepfold has a door. There's not a side door. There's not a back door. There's the door. And Jesus says, with this sheepfold, anybody who doesn't enter in through the door is a thief and a robber. A thief. Now, why can't he just stop with thief? He's a thief and a robber. And there's a difference between the two. A thief is someone who's stealthy. He comes in through the bedroom window. He sneaks around. He's trying his best not to be detected. He's just kind of tippy-toeing around. Jesus says he's a thief and a robber. The robber, he kicks in your front door. Give me your stuff. There's no finesse to him whatsoever. Jesus says, these are the two types of teachers that you have out here. They're false teachers. You're going to see where he talks about them being false teachers and hirelings. And he says, they're thieves and they're robbers. And he says, but he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd, the real shepherd, the good guy. And he, in verse 3, and the porter, That's the guy guarding the sheep. He opens the door, and the sheep and the sheep hear his voice. He says, but he entered the door, verse 3, is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name and leadeth them out. When I was wrestling in high school and I was in the process of getting beat up out on the mat, it was a learning lesson. It was a life learning lesson. But I could hear my voice. There'd be a gymnasium full of people shouting, screaming, get up, get up, get up. But I could hear my brother's voice above everybody's voice. Get up! The sheep. It's like watch a little baby when you're at the nursery, when you go to the daycare, you know, to go pick up some kids at the daycare, and you see all these little snotty-nosed kids come running down the thing. And let that baby's mother come in, not even talking to the baby, talking to somebody at the counter. As soon as that baby hears mama's voice, they perk up. And they come boogieing on down because they heard mama's voice. And then Jesus says, when the real shepherd comes in, the sheep, they hear that voice and they perk up. They start listening. And then when he calls them, they come running. See, the shepherd doesn't go into the sheepfold. He might have 15, 20, 30 sheep. He doesn't go in there trying to fish out his sheep. Every shepherd, there might be four or five shepherds with all their sheep mixed into this sheepfold. But when the real shepherd comes in, when he calls, first off, when they hear his voice, they listen. They get attuned. They listen. It's kind of like your children when they've been bad. See, when you've been bad, you know you're going to get busted. So you're just waiting for that call of your name. You know something bad is going to happen but you heard mom come in from work, boom, 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 boom. You heard her come in, you heard her put down her purse, you heard her go, and you're listening to her because we live, you know, we had an upstairs bedroom, so you could hear them walk in every room they went to. And you know, sooner or later they're going to get to whatever it is that you caused, and you go, what, boy? But I knew his voice. Jesus says, we know his voice. And he says, and the Bible says that the shepherd calls us. He's calling to people. He's calling to young folks. He's calling to old folks. He's calling to middle-aged folks. He's calling people, his children. And he said, come on. And some of us do like them bad kids. We just ignore him. He calls them. He says, come on. It's time to come. It's time to go. Come on. And the Bible says they're attuned to his voice. But look what it says. He calls them, and then he leads them. When it says he calls them, that means he calls each and every one of us. He says, come here. Sam, Lucy. You heard that song? Hush, hush, somebody's calling my name. I said, hush, shh, hush, somebody's calling my name. Oh, Lordy, hush, hush, somebody's calling my name. Oh, my Lord, oh, my Lord, what shall I do? One day, that's a life goal, y'all. I'm not there. Sometimes Jesus called my name, put him on call waiting. I wish I could be so holy that I told you every time he told me to do something, I did it. But I have an aversion to lying in the pulpit. It might not end well. But it's a lifetime endeavor. Listen for that voice. Listen for that soft, still voice calling your name. And he says, but once they respond, and not before they respond, but once they respond, then he says that he leads them out. Now, you got all these other, you got four or five flocks up in this sheepfold. And it says, and he calls his, and as he brings them out, plucks them out, each one, then he leads them. Understand, Christians, you've all watched those Western TV shows, Rawhide. Head them up, move them out, head them up, move them out, head them up, move them out, Rawhide. Ha! See, you drive cattle, you lead sheep. Amen. He says when he calls them out in love. And he leads them. But don't forget, he's got a rod and a staff. And they aren't for show. The rod is to kind of help you. Come on. The rod's got that little crook in it. You've seen the pictures. You know what it is. Come on. And then the staff is for those a little bit more rebellious ones. Get over here. I told you get over here. But he still does it in love. Anybody in here been smacked by the Lord? Amen. Amen. When he told you good as he could speak, go left and you went right. He told you go right, you went left. But don't fret. Don't fret. I don't care what your age is. Don't fret. It's a maturing process to the day we close our eyes for the last time. Yeah. The whole idea is just do better tomorrow. Do better tomorrow. And understand, when we finish reading this word, understand you and I are all able to do better tomorrow. Tomorrow gives you a fresh start. It's a new day. It's a new opportunity. No matter what you feel like, no matter how much you hurt, don't hurt, it's a new day to get it better. He says here, in verse 4, he calls them out, then he puts forth his own, and he goes before them, and his sheep, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. That voice is, you know the person who owns you. You know your mama's voice. You know your daddy's voice. If you're a child of God, you know that voice. Some people call it their conscience. That's the Holy Spirit speaking to you, y'all. The Holy Spirit speaking to you. And he says, verse 5, and a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. Again, y'all, these are things, this is a parable. This is a 2,000-year-old parable, but y'all can still understand it. We still get it. I use the analogy of going to a daycare, and you go in there and you see all those little kids running around and stuff. Now you're there to get this one, and let me see you go over and grab one that don't belong to you. They take off like a, they're gone. Because a stranger, they don't know his voice, and they don't want to be grabbed by a stranger. Let us, as we mature in the word, let us get to the point where we're not pulled off by every wind of doctrine. Oh, Pastor, you hear that? You read this new book? Yeah. Oh, what do you think of it? It's already in the trash. Well, what about this TV show, Pastor? Have you seen this preacher on TV? Yes. What'd you think about him? Did I tell you about him? God's got different people. He's got good people. He's got righteous people. He's got folks on the radio. He's got folks on the TV. But not everything you see and everything you hear is the voice of the good shepherd. There are still those today. There was those then, and there are those now who still trying to climb over the wall and get in and scatter the sheep. And don't be looking for a man in a red suit with a pitchfork and a tail. You're not going to ever see that. Devil doesn't roll that way. Devil comes on looking good. Looking good. Is that show Lucifer still on? I don't even know if it's still on, but I remember when I used to watch the promos. This boy stepped out there and at the Armani or whatever it is. I mean, this boy was, whoo, man, he looked like the devil himself. But that's what you can expect. Don't be looking for a man in a red pajamas and a pitchfork and a tail. He's not going to show up that way because you never talk with him. You say, this guy just escaped from the loony bin. You're not going to talk with him. You're not going to listen to him. But when the Bible says that Satan himself presents himself as an angel of light, that means he draws people to him. And then he spews his little stuff. but it's just not the truth. Okay, so Jesus gave them this parable. And he said, and like I told you, a parable is something that you give people pretty sure that they should understand the concept because it's something they're familiar with. These were all shepherds and fishermen, and they understood, but they didn't get it. So beginning in verse 7, Jesus begins to break down his explanation of this parable for his disciples. In verses 7 through 10, he goes about to explain to them, I am the door. That door to the sheepfold that I was telling you about, I am the door. Now understand, when the shepherd takes his sheep out of the sheepfold, that's where they keep them for the night. But when they're out in open pasture, the shepherd would always make, like he put some shrubbery or some rocks or something around, and he'd make a little small mini sheepfold for his own sheep. And then he would literally lay across the opening because the sheep couldn't jump the fence. So they'd have to come through that door that he set up, and he would literally sit guard, and when he would sleep, he would sleep laying across the door so that if any of the sheep tried to get out without him knowing it, it couldn't happen. That's why you see the scripture where Jesus says, if I had 100 sheep and one of them left, he would know it because he's the good shepherd. He's laying across the gate. He said, I'd leave the 99 over here, and I'd go and I'd get the one. Amen. So you won't ever be left alone by Jesus. But he says here in verses 7 through 10, then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. Wait a minute now. This is out of the mouth of Jesus. And this is very hard to take, and so I have to try to say it as delicately as I can, because I want you to understand, God wants these folks saved too. But when you're watching TV and you see folks just praying, and they're very, 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 very devout, but they're praying to somebody other than the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But they're very, very, very devout. They are thoroughly convinced that this is true. Stay with me. This is a doctrine that people in the church, good shepherd at all, have a very difficult time accepting. But understand, if there is another way to the Father, then everything we're getting ready to read between chapter 10, verses 1 through 21 is a lie. It's not agreeing to disagree. It's either true or it's false. I didn't say that. Jesus said that. Jesus said, if anybody comes to you, they're a thief and a robber. So that means if there's somebody out here praying to whoever, whatever, you pick it, if it doesn't include Jesus Christ, it's a false doctrine. It's a false teaching. It's a lie, and they are thieves and robbers. Does that mean we don't like them? No, what that means is we need to talk to them instead of saying, oh, isn't their worship so wonderful? Their traditions are so wonderful. How can you be so heartless to not give people who are devout the good news of Jesus Christ? Because you think, oh, they've got this wonderful worship. They've got this great tradition. How could you be so unloving? How could you be so unkind? That's not tolerance. That's the epitome of hate. When you know somebody is wrong, and again, this is not Pastor Will's philosophy. Jesus says he's a robber and a thief. And he's a stranger to the children of God. So So, Pastor Will, are you trying to tell me all these people of all these different religions, they're very sincere, they're just praying and praying and praying? Are you telling me that they're wrong? What I'm telling you is that God is saying, if you see it, then you got the opportunity to tell them something. That's what I'm saying to you. But don't harden your heart or give yourself a pass saying, well, you know, I don't try to force my religion down. And, oh, please, please, that is hate. When you know somebody is following a false god and you won't tell them the good news, you won't tell them that God took you just as you were. He took you when you were drunk. He took you when you was whoremonger. He took you when you was homicidal. He took you just as you were. And he cleaned you up and stood you up, set your feet on solid ground. And now you say, I can't tell anybody because, you know, they got their own traditions. And, oh, please, that's the epitome. That is the pinnacle of hate. Jesus said, I am the door. And he goes, everybody who else who comes to you with some other doctrine, they're thieves and robbers. He says, I am the door. He said, look in verse 9. He says, I am the door by me if any man. Well, what about this man? If any man. Well, what about that woman? If any man. Oh, that's why I love Jesus so much. That's why I got to tell everybody about Jesus. Man told me yesterday, I invited him to church. He said, well, I don't have any church clothes. And he was in a pair of cutoff shorts and a wife beater t-shirt. And I said, what do you mean you don't have any church clothes? Well, I don't. What you got on? Wash it. Wash it. If that's the best you have, isn't that what Jesus told him on Mount Sinai? On Mount Sinai, he said, Moses, go tell them, put on the best they have. Not everybody had the same, y'all. Understand, not everybody had the same. But God told Moses, he said, Moses, you go down, you tell them, get the best they have, wash it, and then come talk to the King of Glory. That's your church clothes. Whatever you got, whatever you have, however raggedy it may look, no matter how fancy, whatever it is, God says, bring me your best because I'm giving you my best. That's the least we can do, y'all. That's the least we can do. So don't ever let anybody off the hook talking about they don't have any church clothes. If they got something on when you're talking to them, tell them wash it. And if you're just too broke down that you can't even wash it, just come on. He'll take you anyhow. I know Pastor Robinson, oh, God rest his soul. People used to come staggering down the aisle. Oh, Jesus. He said, smelling like Cutty Sark. That was his drink. That's what he used to drink before he got saved. He said, I know it was Cutty Sark, son. He said, because that was my drink. He said, so when they walk right past him, yeah, he'd been drinking Cutty Sark. And so even with that on your breath, come on now. Just come just as you are. Get your heart right. It's more about where your heart's at than what your clothes are. Just get your heart right. And when they come in, y'all, don't y'all be looking all crazy at people because they didn't come in not dressed the way that you want them to dress. Please don't do that. Please don't do that. God took you just the way they are, just the way you were, and he'll take them too. Amen. Okay, but Jesus says, I'm the door. And look at what he says here in verse 9. He says, If any man enter in, he shall be saved, and he shall go in and out and find pasture. He says, I'm going to make you a promise that you just can't pass up. He said, if you'll come on in, if you'll enter in the right way, don't come up in talking about you're a Hindu, you are this, you are that. You come in by Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. And he wants those Hindus to come. He wants those Muslims to come. He wants all the folks who are worshiping sincerely some false god. They're sincere, y'all. I'm not denying that. They're sincere. But they're just sincerely wrong according to the word of God. And that's where being a Christian becomes hard because we get scared of folks' hearts, looks. He goes, anybody who comes in, they shall be saved. And they shall go in and out and find pasture. That means they're going to be able to come in and go out freely. And he says, when he says they'll find pasture, that means they'll find exactly what they need. And you know what they'll get also? that many of us don't have, but we can have? Listen real close. Peace. A step away from turmoil. Oh my goodness, what wouldn't some folks give for an unaided good night's sleep? What wouldn't they give, y'all? I'm just telling you, Jesus said, I don't know what they would give. He said, but I know what I'll give. I'll give them peace. Don't you know that's a lot to offer to folks? Don't you know we are the most medicated country on the planet? Ask some of the nurses in here. We got nurses in here. We got folks in here who deal with medicine and stuff. We take medicine to knock us out. We take medicine to get us up. We take medicine to keep us going. We messed up. What did Jesus say? Trust me, and I'll let you come in and out of pasture, and I'll give you peace. Who wants some peace? Amen. Who wants some peace? Amen. That ain't too much to ask. In this hustle, bustle, hurry, 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 that's just not a whole lot to ask, y'all. Just let me have some peace. Husbands and wives seeking peace. And before y'all blow up on each other, remember, God put you together. God put you together. Yeah, but he gets on my nerves. Oh, she gets on my nerves. All God does is sit back in the heavens and laugh and say, now you see how I feel with you. Amen. He said, but I warned you. I told you for better or for worse. Didn't I tell you before you did? Did I say amen? But he says, remember, you're not fighting against flesh and blood. Come to me. You got a problem with your wife? Draw closer to me. You got a problem with your husband? Draw closer to me. I'll give you peace. Ah, good news, y'all. Let your friends know that. He says, I am the door. And he says, I guarantee you that you'll be saved and you'll be able to come in and find pasture. In verse 10, we're going to find out what that thief and that robber and the evil one, because it's a spiritual battle. It's a spiritual battle. It says in verse 10, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more, that they might have it more abundantly. Look at the contrast right here. Look at the difference between Jesus and the evil one. Look at the difference. The Bible says the evil one, he's got a threefold mission, y'all. The devil is a man on a mission. He's got a threefold mission. I got to steal, I got to kill, and I'm going to destroy. And I want y'all to just take a look around in our families. And I want you to take a look around at where you or I, either one of us, could have been had not some point in our lives we said, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. So we ain't pointing fingers at them. We're just saying, thank you, Lord, for delivering me. Now I got to have enough nerve to go and talk to them. But he says he has a threefold mission. He came to steal, to kill, and destroy. Think about this. This is how the devil does his sin. First thing he does is he steals your joy. The devil is a joy stealer. He a joy snatcher. And don't get mad at him. He's just doing his job. He's doing his job because he's fully persuaded he's on track doing what he wants. And he comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. He steals your joy. That's the first sign that the devil is oppressing you. He can't possess you when you're saved, but he can oppress you. You can't even look at a show without going, ah. You can't drive down the street going to work. Ah. He steals your joy. Nothing is good. Nothing is right. Everything's wrong. Everything's wrong. Ah, these Republicans. Ah, these Democrats. Ah, these these people just make me sick. All of them make me sick. Your joy going out the door. And it's not by accident your joy is going out the door. He came to steal your joy. This is not rocket science, y'all. This is his job. Oh, man, I just tore up my brand new car. Got you going. Ah, it's always something to get your mind and your focus off of how blessed we are. Y'all, we are blessed beyond measure. This country, us as people, Christians, we are so blessed. But ain't nothing right, because he steals your joy. And then once he steals your joy, he kills your spirit. He takes that will out of you to move forward. He takes that will out of you to do better. You just want to throw your hands up. I just want to exist. He comes to steal your joy. He comes to kill your spirit. And then ultimately, he destroys your body. Look around. Look at your friends, your family, people on TV. Just take a look around. And I'm not putting these folks down, but I'm telling you, pay attention. When I graduated in 1970, nobody said, I want to be a crackhead. Nobody said that. Nobody said, I want to be the town drunk. Nobody said that. But guess what? Some of us ended up down that path because first we let him take our joy. And then he killed our spirit to excel. He killed our desire to serve God. He took it away. He took it right out of you. And then once he's got you, oh, he's merciless. He said, I'm going to destroy your body now. I'm going to do everything I can to take you out, because you belong to God, and I can't put you in hell. But I can sure make you feel like you've been there. Look at the contrast between what Satan came to do and what Jesus came. And I don't want you to miss this. He's already told you he's the door. He says, I'm the door. And look here in verse 10. He says, I am come. And he's speaking about the sheep. That's us. He said, I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more. You see that word might? Whenever you see that word might, that means it's optional. You understand, folks? It's optional. If you want to let the devil steal your joy, he will. If you want to let the devil kill your spirit, he will. If you want to let the devil destroy your body, he will. But Jesus says, if you make a choice, when he says might, when he says that you might have life, you might have life. That means you might have life, and you might have it abundantly. He goes, abundantly means better in quantity, better in quality, super abundant, beyond measure. How many of y'all wake up in the morning, can't wait to get out there in that traffic? Oh, yeah, come on, bring it on. I'm ready to go to work when I get up in the morning. He goes, that's a choice you make. That's a choice you make. I am ready when I hit the ground. I said, and you know when it's really the most that you're excited about getting up the next day? When you spent some time with God the night before. When you spent some time with prayer, and when you spent some time with reading and studying and meditating and getting to know him. Because when you get to know him, the devil, but it's an old song, but the devil can't do me no wrong, y'all. What's he gonna do to me that Jesus won't fix? What's he gonna do? He brought it all. You see where he brought it all on Job. God said, hand him with your best shot. Give him all you got. And when it was all said and done, Job said, hey, the Lord gave it to me. And if he takes it, that's his business. It was his. See, we have to get to that. That's a choice that Job made, y'all. And that's a choice that we can make. We can have life. He said, might. Might. That means you got to make a choice. And the more you study this word, the more you give yourself to the Lord, That word might decreases from might to shall. Amen. Then he goes on in verse 11, verses 11 through 14. He's told him, I am the door. And then he says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd, verse 11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd, then he goes on to describe the good shepherd. If there's a good shepherd, then there's such a thing as a lousy shepherd. Amen. He says, I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is a hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth. And the wolf catches them and scattereth the sheep. Jesus says, you know, there's a shepherd who's going to stay there. He's going to stand in the gap for the sheep. He's going to be there for you. That's his job. He's going to be there. He said, but a hireling, he said, you have to, you know, and all of us who worked out in the public square, in the public marketplace, we ran across hirelings on our job. You know, my sister here is a school teacher. You've ran across, in your years of being a school teacher, how many people have you ran across who really, really, really wanted to be a school teacher and somebody else who said, I got a job. That's what I'm here for. I got a job. And you can't fire me because I got this back of me and that back of me. I got a job. They have no care for the children. They have no care for the job. Jesus is saying that's what a hireling is in the church. He has no care for the flock. As long as he's getting a check, everything is fine. But at the moment, it becomes inconvenient. I believe the Lord has called me to leave y'all and go down to First Baptist where whatever, because they just doubled my salary. I mean, no, because it's that I need to do this. No. There's got to be a care for the sheep. Jesus says, I give my life. Jesus said, I give my life for the flock because I am the good shepherd. And he says, the hireling, verse 13, the hireling fleeth because he is a hireling. When trouble shows up, the hireling takes off, and he cares not for the sheep. And he repeats, because we don't get it all the time, he repeats, I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. Now look at this in verse 15. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. Now, I told you I'm going to give you some things that are going to be very hard to take, very difficult to take in. But I want you to listen to what Jesus is saying here. Turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 11, verse 27. Matthew chapter 11, verse 27. Say amen when you get there. Boy, do we need Christian Education Month. Come on, come on, come on. Matthew chapter 11, verse 27. Amen? Amen. Okay. And it reads, all things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomever the Son will reveal him. Turn your Bibles to Luke. Make sure you make a notation about these, because this is something that's hard for people to deal with in the church. That was Matthew 11, 27, and we're going to go with Luke 10, 22. Luke 10, 22. And it reads, all things are delivered to me of my Father, and no man knoweth who the Son is but the Father, and who the Father is but the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal himself. And he whom the Son will reveal him, not himself, him. Go with me for a minute. How many have heard people say, well, I believe in God, I'm just not sure about Jesus? Raise your hand. I want to know, because I hear it all the time. I believe in God, but I don't believe that Jesus stuff. I just believe in God. Understand, I didn't say this. Jesus himself said this. He says, nobody knows God unless the Son reveals him. And nobody knows the Son unless the Father reveals him. So understand, when I started off this sermon, I told you, You see people bow down praying and praying and praying and praying. And I submit to you, according to the word of God, are they praying to the one true and living Father? And Jesus says, no. Because they cannot know the one. This is a Christian doctrinal fact. He says, you cannot, absolutely, positively, cannot be praying to the true Father unless you know the Son, because the Son is the only one who can point you and reveal to you the true Father. Amen? That's hard. That's hard. That's hard for me. People out here praying, got their heads down, they're bound, they got tragedies and this and that and the other. And God, don't forget, God said he does some good stuff for people who don't know him. He says, I rain on the just and the unjust. I do some good things for them. He said, but when it comes to salvation, they're not saved. They are not praying to the one true and living God, because the scripture is replete with only the Son knows the Father and only the Father knows the Son. And you cannot get to God without Jesus. For those of you who have children, this is a parable, an illustration. For those who have children, nobody can come to your house talking about they're your, what they call it, BFF, best friend forever. Yeah, that's it. But I can't stand your son. He's an idiot. He's a liar. I hate your daughter. But I love you. Oh, I love you. I got a question for you. What are you going to tell that person? I think you're going to show them the door. And you might not do it in too short of a fashion. I do believe. So why is it when Jesus and the Father say, this is it, because God, who owns heaven? Is heaven a commune where everybody gets a voice? Or is it God? Does it belong to God? And he decides who comes in and who goes out. It's God's. And he says, nobody knows the Father but the Son, and nobody knows the Son but the Father. So therefore, that should drive us to give out the gospel. That should make us almost never want to rest. Because even in our own, the confines of our own home, in our own family members, we got folks who say, I love God. Oh, I listen to God. I pray to God all the time. I pray to God. But, well, have you ever believed on the name of Jesus Christ? Do you believe that Jesus Christ came, he died, he rose from the dead, paying for your sins? No. Then you ain't praying to the Father. Because Jesus said, not Paul, not Peter, not James, not John. Jesus said, in order to get to the Father, you can only be revealed by the Son. Oh, it's hard, but it's wonderful because it gives you the surety. It's a horrible thing to be walking around saying, I hope I'm going to go to heaven. I wish I'm going to go to heaven. When you can know. Because if you know the Son, and you believe that the Son came, he died, he rose from the dead, you got that because the Father called him, drew you to him through his Son. It's a surety. And the only way that you end up doubting, that you might not go to heaven, I told you. I didn't tell you. Jesus told you. He said the devil has a threefold mission. Steal your joy. Kill your spirit, destroy your body. The only time that doubt even creeps in about salvation is when I allow, because I have a choice. The only way that doubt could even creep in is when I allow the devil to steal my joy. Be alert, church. Be alert. Jesus says, I am the door. I am the good shepherd. And verse 15, that's where he starts referring to himself as the sacrifice. Now, he's the door by which everybody enters. He's the good shepherd who cares for everybody. Now, he talks about being the sacrifice. Oh, he says, Verse 15. And don't forget, this message, when Jesus is speaking this, he's speaking to a Jewish audience. He's speaking to, because he never preached outside of Israel. So he's speaking to a Jewish audience. This is the Jewish Messiah. And look at what he says. He says in verse 15, he says, as the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. That's the first mention that Jesus has given you. He's the sacrifice. He's the Lamb of God. These are spiritual things. He gave them a parable, something that they should understand from practical application, to give them something that they don't understand because it's spiritual. He's saying, this is a spiritual situation. He goes, I am the door, I am the good shepherd, and I am the sacrifice. He goes, I lay down my life for the sheep, for those who are called according to his promises. And other sheep, verse 16, here's the good news. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold. Who's he talking about? He's talking about us. See, Jesus always had us on his mind. This is not happenstance that the gospel has been spread all over the world. But first, he said it was to the Jew first. Those are the people that he came to first. He says, but Jesus right here, he's explaining it to everybody. He goes, you got these sheepfolds. He goes, this is my first sheepfold. It's the Jews. He said, but I got another flock. That's you and me. Isn't it nice to know that you're not an afterthought for Jesus? You and I are part of his purpose and part of his plan. And he says, I have another flock. In verse 16, he says, I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must. Jesus says, nothing gonna stop me. Nobody. The devil can't stop him. Nobody can stop him. He said, I must bring, and they shall hear my voice. Any of y'all ever heard Jesus' voice? Have you heard that voice calling you? Say amen. Have you heard his voice calling you? You know why? Because he purposed from the foundations of the earth, I'm going to get them. You realize in the Bible, in the Old Testament, it talks about us as people who were not even a people. We were without hope. He said, we didn't even know. What did the Bible say to Jonah? When God told Jonah to go preach to the people in Nineveh, because they were heathens just like us. He said, Jonah. He said, I got people over here, they don't even know their left hand from their right hand. Was he saying there was no intelligent people in Nineveh? Couldn't have been saying that because they were a great, powerful nation. What he says is, they don't know me and they don't know my son. And I'm sending you to give them the word, just like what he does with us. He says, I have this other fold and I must bring them and they shall hear my voice and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. There shall be Jew and Gentile, one together in Messiah. You want to know why Good Shepherd Baptist Church has outreach to the Jewish community? Because we're supposed to. We're supposed to give them the gospel because they rejected it the first time through. Not all, but many of them rejected it. And guess what? God had made a mandate for them to get the gospel and then take it to the Gentiles. And they said no. And now he's given a mandate to us. You know, we talk about, oh, man, how could the Jews miss it? How could they not know Jesus was coming? Well, then what about you? What about me? He's given you and I the mandate to take this gospel to the Jewish community. What are you doing? What are you saying? How are you reaching them? It's easy to sit back and look at the Jews and say, oh, man, they blew it. Man, Jesus was right there in the middle of them, and they didn't even see it. Jesus is right here in the midst of y'all, in the midst of us, saying, those are my people. Make it your business, first and foremost. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Pray for the salvation of the Jews. And give them the gospel. Verse 17, therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. Understand, nobody took the life of Jesus Christ. You remember on the cross when he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And it says, and he gave up the ghost. Amen. Oh, My Savior. He couldn't be my Savior if he didn't have the power over life and death. And Jesus says, I have the power to lay it down. You hear people all throughout history say, well, I died for my friends. I died for my country. And that's all noble stuff. That's wonderful stuff. But Jesus says, I'm going to die for my sheep. And then I'm going to do something that nobody else has ever done. I'm going to take my life back up. After 3 days. After three days, that way you know for certain he was dead. 3 days. He said, that's why I want you to have your faith in me, because nobody has ever, 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 since the beginning of time, nobody has ever laid his life down and picked it back up. Even today, we see modern day miracles where the doctors, you know, somebody dies on the table, and we do, you know, that happens, but then the doctors work on it. Jesus said, it ain't like that. He said, I let them destroy my body. 3 days later, I got up. That's good news, y'all. We need to be telling everybody about the good news. Even when they laugh at you, they scoff at you. He says, I am the door, I'm the good shepherd, and I am the sacrifice, the Lamb of God. Amen. Verse 18, no man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. And might I add, he has power to get you up out the ground when you close your eyes for the last time. But only if somewhere while you got breath on this side, you said, Lord, I believe that you came, you died, and you rose from the dead, paying for my sins. And the Bible says, you shall be saved. Man, that's, ooh. He said, this commandment have I received of my Father. Last part, we said he's the door, he's the good shepherd, he's the sacrifice. Last part, and it reads, there was a division. We're going to talk about there was a division, the division. There was a division, verse 19, therefore again among the Jews for these sayings, and many of them said, he hath a devil and is mad. Why hear ye him? Others said, these are not the words of him that hath a devil. Can a devil open the eyes of the blind? Mark this part, write this down. Wherever there's a division, it requires a decision. If there's a division, especially when you're talking about the things of God, remember, we don't agree to disagree, because the Bible says the truth will set you free, and the Holy Spirit will lead you into all what? Truth. So we don't agree to disagree on the things of God. And if there's a division, there requires a decision. You see it right here. Jesus has been dividing people all through history. He's been dividing those who believe him and those who don't believe him. And when people are telling you that Jesus is a nice man, he's a wonderful preacher, he's a wonderful teacher, but he's not the Son of God, you cannot accept that, because you just called him a liar. Because he said, no man knows the Father but me, and the Father is the only one who knows the Son. And so this is what we have. He's a good man and not the Son of God is not one of the options. He's either who he says he is, the Son of the living God, or he's a liar. Hard truths, but right out the mouth of Jesus. He says, every decision, every division, requires a decision. And the people said, look at the evidence. We talked about it last week. A man who was born blind. He didn't just get blind, but he was born blind. And when asked Jesus about him, Jesus said, "It's for this, he was born blind so that God might be glorified." And the people looked at the evidence. I'm asking you, church, look at the evidence, the proof of the existence of Jesus Christ, what he did in his life, what he spoke in his life. And I'm asking you, make a decision today. When he says that you might have life and have it more abundantly, you might, this is that decision time. If you're still questioning whether or not Jesus really is who he is or really did what he said he did, you might have joy. But when you believe what he said, he says, I'll give you life, and I'll give you life more abundantly. Church, he's the door. He's the good shepherd. And behold,